SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back!
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3, the quickest 100 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. Sirius XM Channel 159. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be kicking it with us this evening. A wild night tonight. It's a calm before the storm in the NHL. The NBA play-in stuff has been, you know, you can't say it hasn't been entertaining. I think it's stupid, but they get what they want. There's more games on TV, and there's more games to bet on. So we bet on them tonight. We actually did okay tonight. We did well. You know what? Put it this way. We did better tonight, better than we did last night. You would figure because, you know, the Raptors lost that somehow I would have been, like, really, like, killed tonight. I got to be honest with you. I didn't have a ton of confidence in them, Matias. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie. I thought they were going to win this game tonight. And I did have a couple of big plays and moneyline parlays and stuff. But not, like, over the top big. You know, I had five dimes on these guys to go over 39.5. They barely got there. They did. I didn't want to give it back. Right? It was one of those deals. I didn't want to give it back. I did. I bet pretty big on the Raptors. I had them on a money line. I took Siakam to go over points, and he did. I told you he missed the free throws late, but they would have lost anyways, even if he would have hit those. But he still did choke at the end. But he still went over his point prop. But we smashed the in-game over during the game. And we got there. It ended up going over the number. And it is what it is. Like I said, I didn't have a ton of confidence. I sort of thought they would win the game. I thought they would win by 7, and the point spread was 6. So that's all you need to know. And then they're winning by 19. I was feeling pretty good about things. But, you know, if you're bad, you're bad. So, like, we can say, oh, can you believe they blew the lead? Yeah, you can believe they blew the lead. Right? Yeah, you can believe it. In the same way, can you believe the Miami Heat lost to the Atlanta Hawks? Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes, you can. And if anything, you know, we all talk about this, you know, oh, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be wide open and all this. And we talked about that with the NCAA tournament, and it actually was. We're talking about with the NBA playoffs right now. It actually so far is. But we should remind people, these teams aren't like the elite teams that have been playing so far. But pretty crazy stuff. That the Bulls came back, and how about Gilgeous Alexander? He did not have, he had 7 points in the first half? I knew he was going to go off in the second half. I should have jumped in on his player prop, but what I did is I just took the game to go over again. I already had it, but I took it again at halftime. So the underdogs just keep getting it done, man. All right? The underdogs, hell of a run for the dogs. Atlanta wins the game outright. Oklahoma City wins the game outright. Chicago wins the game outright. Minnesota shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. They coulda, but they didn't. They did fall short. Minnesota now hosts the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they don't make it easy for these teams. I'll give them that. Like, you know what I mean? You bang, you crash the party and stuff. But if you, like I said, if you're a 10th-place team, you're a 10th-place team. Like, you're given this little lifeline and stuff, but whatever. It is what it is. But it is good for the fans. It's good for the organizations. It gives them a little bit of a bump and a pop. And I do like this Oklahoma City team. I like the fearlessness that they play with. They're clearly playing with house money. People thought they were going to tank. And here they are right now. They're getting 4.5 points on Friday night. That's the late game. The first game up, the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. I think the Bulls can beat the Heat. The quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Chicago Bulls, and everybody else in between. As the Oklahoma City Thunder get 32 from SGA. They get 31 from Josh Giddey. Dort throws it down. Dort, more than just a defensive specialist. the Canadian Connection tonight. SGA, 32 points. Dort, 27. So what do we have? Two Canadians and an Australian. Oklahoma City's the first team with three 25-point scores in a play-in game. Oklahoma City also did this once in a regular season, March 28th versus the Charlotte Hornets, except tonight it actually counted. Somebody should have told the Toronto Raptors that their free throws counted tonight. The Raptors missed 18 of 36 free throw attempts. Like, 18 of 36. Like, Shaquille O'Neal would have hit, like, 19 or 20 of these things. You lose a play-in elimination game and you miss 18 free throws, well, you deserve to lose. That's the most free throws missed in a winner-take-all playoff or play-in game since the Lakers missed 19 free throws in Game 7 of the 1969 Finals. The Chicago Bulls will now head to South Beach, and the Miami Heat are five-point favorites right now. Over a Bulls team, it's funny, all these so-called dysfunctional teams don't look so dysfunctional suddenly when the ball starts going in. And another thing that we've noticed here, what's really been crazy in the play-in, if you notice, how many guys have, like, had really bad first halves and then just lit it up in the second. Zach LaVine went off for 32. SGA went off. SGA had, like, 7 points in the first half. Absolutely, the guy ended up with 32 when it was all said and done. So Oklahoma City are getting 4.5 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Chicago Bulls are getting 5 right now against the Miami Heat. The Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers will be first up on Saturday. The Sixers are 8.5-point favorites in this game. That's, you know, listen, if Brooklyn win this game, that's when you know all hell is broken loose. And why are Spencer Dinwiddie and Kyle Kuzma going back and forth? I'm on Team Dinwiddie, but Kuzma does have a ring to go along with his stupid sweaters. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. I see our YouTube feed is having the same problems the Raptors did tonight. Choking. We're choking. 19-point lead blown. But as we stated, man, you know, we always say this. When people talk about this time of the year, oh, the team needs this game. And I say, yeah, they need the game because they're not very good, right? If you're at this time of the year, unless you're fighting for, like, the top seed in the league, right? If you need the game, if you're in a situation, you always hear the term must win and all this, whatever. Like Charles Barkley said it last night, right? When he was saying, well, whatever, none of these teams are very good anyway, so it doesn't really matter what's going to happen to them. And it's hard to disagree, yet he said don't bother watching. I won't go that far because it is entertaining. Like I said, look at this stuff. They're like NCAA tournament games. Normally, you know, I am a diehard Toronto Raptor fan, and normally I get very upset and take the losses very hard, but there wasn't, the expectation level was not very high for me. You know, I went into this thing with very, very low expectations. To me, it was more just another bet lost. I didn't think the Raptors would be able to do anything anyways. So it was more of a just of a bet lost, yet you look at this, you look at the play-in, will it continue? The underdogs, what, they're 4-0, right? They've covered every game. And in fact, they've won 3 of 4 outright. So Oklahoma City wins outright tonight. Chicago wins outright. Minnesota covers a number. And Atlanta wins outright. And now Chicago go into Miami, and there's it opened at 4.5. It's up to 5 right now. I'm not so quick to just say, yeah, you know what? The Miami Heat are going to bounce back. I don't think the Miami Heat are very good. The Miami Heat, you know, have offensive issues. And you see, you know, you look at the Toronto Raptors, they hit the wall. They couldn't score late in the game. And the Chicago Bulls could with both DeRozan and with Zach LaVine. All right, the Miami Heat don't have that. They've got Jimmy Butler and everybody else is just kind of crap on that team. Like, to me, the Chicago Bulls are very live. I like the Bulls plus the 5 points. The Oklahoma City-Minnesota game is the one that I'm a little bit more perplexed by. I'm not one of these people. I don't automatically just buy into whatever I saw last. I think a lot of people do, especially when it comes to football. But in sports in general, you can't just buy in. You know, we just saw Oklahoma City. Oh, I'm going to take them again. And I know it sounds hypocritical as I'm talking about Chicago. But Miami did not play well against the Atlanta Hawks. The Minnesota Timberwolves actually played well against the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, the T-Wolves played a good game. They played great for 43 minutes. Similar to the Raptors, actually. They played a great game until they didn't, right? And the T-Wolves actually played pretty good. We talked about it last night. I don't believe in moral victories and stuff, but if I'm the T-Wolves, I'm thinking, you know what? We should have beaten the Lakers. Anthony went 3 of 17 from the field, scored 9 freaking points, and we were in overtime. Like, we should have won the game. It's not like, you know what? It's not like the T-Wolves, you know, pull into the arena as in, like, man, we've got a million problems here. As in, we can't win, we can't do this, we can't do that. Yeah, did they, you know, did they punch each other and stuff? Yeah, so what? I thought that was overblown. That stuff happens all the time. It was just, it was caught on camera. It is what it is. So this one's a little bit more perplexing to me. And another thing is, did Oklahoma City, who's a very young team, you know, was this their big win tonight? Can they follow it up? Chicago, these guys have been around, right? Levine's been around. DeMar's been around. Vucevic has been around. Oklahoma City are young kids. Can they keep this sort of like, all right, let's keep this rolling? That's going to be a fun game, though, between the T-Wolves and the Thunder. And there should be a pace to it. There should be some points. We have a really low total with Miami and Chicago, 208.5. Brooklyn are getting 8.5 in the first game up on Saturday. You know, I look at this and I just put a parlay in. I didn't hit click. I just want to see what it paid. Philadelphia to beat Brooklyn in game one. Phoenix to beat the Clippers. You have to wait until Sunday. It's a Saturday-Sunday parlay. It's minus 142. A lot of people are going to buy into the Atlanta Hawks getting all these points. I don't think, and Bob Ryan will join us. We'll talk Celtic. We'll get the Celtic perspective going into the playoffs here in a couple of minutes with the great Bob Ryan. But I don't think the Celtics will stumble here. I'm not ready to lay the 9, but I'm talking about a money line parlay. So if you don't want to wait, look, Philadelphia, let's take Phoenix out of this and just put Boston in. It's minus 168. If you want to get the party started, Philadelphia to win the game. Most of the time, and we'll go over the trends, we'll do it tomorrow and Friday, but we'll go over the trends. I was going to say, most of the time, these one seeds cover in game one, right? Like, there's their message, their statement games. A lot of these teams have been around the playoffs, too. Like, Philadelphia, remember, Philadelphia swept the Pacers a couple of years ago in the playoffs in the first round. They beat the Raptors in 6 last year. Probably should have went 7. Was it 5? I think it might have been 5, actually. I think it was 5. I was going to say it was pretty, the games were close. The Raptors were, Raptors got injured, but whatever, more excuses. The Raptors lost. Either way, the Raptors are good at having excuses. They really are. Their players are after. Like, Van Fleet's talking about how proud he is of everybody on the team. What are you so proud of? Being mediocre? You know, I get it. You're proud that, you know, you were a walk-on free agent and stuff, and you're about to sign a big-ass deal. For the record, I think that Fred Van Fleet is going to end up on the Orlando Magic. You never know what rumors are true and what you hear and stuff, but if you look at the Orlando Magic, they have a lot of talent. They could use, you know. It's funny because Mo DeKeel said that Van Fleet's not the guy that people think he is, and he doesn't mean that in a derogatory way, and I totally buy into that. Like, Fred Van Fleet's not some veteran that, you know what I mean? I don't know if Orlando think that he's some veteran that they're going to bring in and he's going to put him over the top and he's going to be mature and, like, he's going to help people and all this. He's going to set people up. And Fred Van Fleet's not a bad guy, so I'm not saying this is any personal attack on him, but he's not a point guard. he takes bad shots. He plays hero ball often. I don't know if he played hero ball because he's a free agent, and quite frankly, he was just, you know, trying to shoot for money, and he didn't care if he missed. So I don't know. Like, if Orlando wants to do it, look, the Raptors offered him, like, you know, $28 to $29 million a year on a four-year deal. And he wanted to test the market. He thinks he can get all this money out there. If I'm the Raptors, and I hate, you know, I'm not one of these throw everybody under the bus guys, but if I was the Raptors, I would let Fred VanVleet walk. And I think he's peaked. See, you know, there's a thing. It's sort of like, watch what you say. What you say can and will be used against you. And I'm going to use this in an incident with Fred VanVleet. He did an interview once, I don't know with who, it's out there, in which he said, you know, nobody believed in me when I was a kid in Rockford, Illinois, and I had to prove myself, and I went to Wichita State, and I had to prove myself, and I was a free agent, I went to the NBA, I had to prove myself, and I won an NBA championship. And then he looked, and he upped, and he said, all they're left us to do now is to get paid. And, you know, fine, I don't hold it against anybody, but I think that you're going to pay Fred VanVleet for what he's already done, not what he's going to do. And in pro sports, you got to pay people for what they're going to do, not what they did. So I think Fred VanVleet, like, it's not like Fred VanVleet's going to leave the Raptors and suddenly, you know, drop 30 a night or something. He is who he is. I would let him walk. I would let Gary Trent walk. I would try to keep Nick Nurse, but I think Nick Nurse has had enough of Masai Ujiri and the roster that he's been given. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi, Sirius XM channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut SoCal in the house. And so is ESPN's Bob Ryan, longtime Boston Globe columnist, ESPN analyst. Mr. Bob Ryan steps up and in and joins us. Bob, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
No problem at all.
So the NBA play-in tournament has started off with a bang. There's a lot of excitement about these playoffs. You've been around the association a long time, and there's only really a handful of teams that have really won championships over the years when you compare the NBA to other leagues. But it really does have like an NCAA tournament wide-open feel to it coming into this playoffs, doesn't it, Bob?
It does, more than usual years, particularly because of the uncertainty in the West. The East is a little more chalky in that I think most people would agree that someone is going to emerge among the trio of Milwaukee, Boston, or possibly Philadelphia. It would be a real surprise if anyone else sneaked in. But the West, oh boy, you know, no one really believes in Denver outside of Denver, right? No one believes in Memphis outside of Memphis. No one believes in Sacramento outside of Sacramento. I love them, by the way, but they're the great-grandsons of the Rochester Royals. I'm rooting for them. And then you've got the X-factors of such teams as the Lakers and the Warriors, which makes the West really a curious place at all, very definitely.
So the Eastern Conference is just so, you know, top-heavy. Milwaukee are a great team. Boston have been knocking on the door. So let's talk about the Boston Celtics, in which it feels like this team has been together forever. But really, you know, Jason Tatum is 25 years old. But how much longer is this team going to be together? Jaylen Brown, every time he does an interview, you sort of get mixed signals about his future. This unit of Smart, Tatum, Brown, this collection, this core, how big is this window? How many years do they have? Is this it? What do you think about the Boston Celtics and where they're at with this team?
Well, I'd recommend they get it done this year and certainly next year, because Brown will be able to go somewhere after next year, as far as I understand it. And funny thing, his contractual situation may be contingent on whether he gets to be an all-star first, second, or third team. And that will enable him, if he is, to go for the max. It'd be interesting to see if someone will give him the max. But they are young veterans. I mean, Smart is the oldest of this trio that's been around together now for 5-6 years. And they're in the prime of their athletic lives, for sure. So that trio is the core group, and they're the stars. They're the ones who are on the cover, if you recall, of Sports Illustrated starting this season. And there's a little bit of pressure on them to get it done, no question.
We're in an era right now of one-and-dones in college, and it's almost the same in the NBA right now. It's like pro sports mirror college sports only almost now in that, you know, players don't care about the contract that they have. They'll leave mid-season. They're unhappy. It's almost a rarity to see a unit like these guys that have been around. I know it's only been like the 5-6 years, like you said, but it's a rarity in the modern NBA, isn't it?
In this modern world, it is any sport that you could keep a group. They got them young. They were all first-round picks, great picks by Danny. They're all Danny Ainge picks, and he schemed. He identified Smart. He schemed to get Tatum. He identified Brown. I mean, you know, that he was somebody worthy of you know, taking big notice of out of Cal. He gets credit for that, and Brad Stevens gets credit for finding Derek White last year and for getting Brogdon, and so that they can share the, if they ever do it, Daniel will get credit and Stevens will get credit as well in terms of putting the team together. So, but it is unusual, and yet they're still young, relatively. I mean, it's hard to believe, but this is what happens when you come out when you're 19 with the way Tatum did specifically.
Now, you mentioned a big three in the East, and I saw you tweet recently, Bob, that you saw Joel Embiid in person. You said it was one of the best performances that you've ever seen in person in your life, and that's saying something. What impressed you about Joel Embiid's game so much?
That he scored effortlessly and intelligently and a variety of ways a seven-footer in years past would not have had. He can hurt you inside, which doesn't happen a lot enough in my book because the game is so three-point centric. But he can hurt you outside. He can make a three. He can do all kinds of mid-range stuff. I just found out something today I didn't even know when I tweeted this, which is really impressive. In addition to leading the league in free throws attempts per game, he's the first person, or one of two maybe at the most, that ever averaged 10 a game. That's a lot, and so he's very difficult to guard. And the Celtics are certainly have borne witness to this. They would not be going, oh goody goody, we're going to play the 76ers if and when it ever happened. I can tell you that.
And, you know, you look at James Harden, who's been heavily criticized and called a selfish player, just sort of a scorer in the past, and he's really, really changed his game, hasn't he, Bob, to become, you know, listen, a guy led the league in assists and just, you know, a dangerous player. They do have great chemistry. Doc is just always on the hot seat wherever he goes. How do you see it playing out? Can Philadelphia take that next step and break through this trust the process experience that's been going on a while now, right? So can they break through?
They could. I mean, if Embiid plays at that superb level that he's been playing. And you're right about Harden. I was a skeptic. I didn't think he would reinvent himself to be so much of a playmaker as opposed to a scorer. And leading the league in assists is something I never would have foreseen. It's funny, though, with him, you still picture him pounding it, pounding it, pounding it. And when the game's over, you say, where did those assists come from? But that's still my impression. That's the image that he still portrays. And the other thing about him, he's got to do it in the playoffs. He's never been a great playoff player. And so if they're going to do it, obviously he's got to play at a level in the playoffs that he has never played before.
So I'll ask you to put your prediction hat on here. Ultimately, who do you think gets out of the West? Who do you think gets out of the East? I got to ask you about the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant. And, you know, people always talk about, well, it's going to take time to get chemistry and stuff. But he's so good, Bob, and he has such a high basketball IQ. You know, almost like a musician, a great musician. I think he could step in and play with any band.
Well, they've all got flaws, ultimately. And their flaw, I think, will be they better not get in foul trouble. I don't think they have a quality bench, but they certainly have four guys that they start and for sure that anybody would want. And Paul has still got enough left in the tank to be effective, to be an orchestrator, a championship team, I think. Obviously, we all know how good Durant is. We all should know how good Booker is and so forth. So and Ayton is he can get the job done for you in the middle. They're not that deep. Everybody's got a yeah but in the West, you know, and that's it. Frankly, the team with the fewest yeah buts I think, based on track record, you know, is the Bucks. I don't fully trust the Celtics team yet. I don't like the way they kind of wilted it last year, and after they got up against the Warriors, they are in fact the deepest team in the league. I think they have the most quality, legitimate NBA players, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything in the playoffs. As a rule, if you don't get somebody hurt or big foul trouble, usually you only need about 8 guys to win. But they've got 11 guys they can put in a game and feel comfortable with. Not many teams can make that statement. But I like Milwaukee and. The most logical thing, if you're going to put the proverbial luger to my head or say, here's the money you're going to bet, put the bet on, I'd have to bet on Milwaukee and Phoenix. I'm not to be the teams that come out of it. And but that doesn't mean it's a shaky prediction. I hate predictions, by the way, but you asked me.
Like, it's a shaky prediction. It's a shaky world we're in. We've only got a couple more minutes with Bob Ryan, and Bob will get you out of here. But speaking of time, listen, I'm just sort of that. Listen, clock shouldn't be on a baseball field, but I'm not going to argue that people are enjoying the quicker pace of the games. I think the players will adjust as we go on more. What do you like? What do you don't like about the new modern Major League Baseball after a week and a half? Small sample size, obviously, but what catches your eye?
What catches my eye is the fact that these games are being played at a proper pace, and I love it. The first thing I do every single day now is check all the box scores to see what the TOG was, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And the idea, long overdue. Now, I didn't think that they had to do everything at once. I wasn't sure about the need to have the pitch, the restriction on throws at first. It certainly has increased the running game, and it may even get more increases as people get more used to the idea of what you can do. But as far as the pitch clock is concerned, I am all for it. I don't want any nonsense about this being taken away during the playoffs. No. That's when it would really slow down. No, you want this game to be played the way it's being played. I have no trouble with the big base. And the shift, oh, God, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy. You know, taking the game away from the nerds is a good thing, and I love what we're seeing very much.
I like what you said there. That's my old deal. I don't want to give the power to the nerds too much, right? I want to sort of keep the sanctity of the game, but I also want to improve the game. And I guess Bob will find out, right, in attendance and what the television numbers are, and we'll give it a little time to breathe and sort itself out.
Absolutely. I wish the only thing I'll leave you with is, does anybody in Tampa Bay know they have a baseball team? Did anybody hear about that?
Dear God, huh?
It's so sad. Perils before swine. I mean, this is so sad that this wonderful team that's been wonderful for a long time, as far back as 08 when they beat the Red Sox, as they've been doing it their way on that limited payroll. And they're just in a market that just doesn't care. It's sad.
And after a while, they can't say, well, but, as you stated, but the stadium, but this, but what?
Oh, yeah.
You're a 10-0 baseball team, and you got 10,000 people in the stadium. Let's be real, right? And it's not new. It's been going on for years, as you stated.
Yeah, they blame the ballpark, a lot of people, and the ballpark, they say, is on the wrong side of the bay. And I understand that. I don't live down there. I'll take their word for it. But it's a terrible place. It's a terrible ballpark. You know, awful. And for baseball, so this wonderful team is in the wrong city in the wrong ballpark, and it doesn't bother them when the game starts. They play their games, and that's fine. But they're a pleasure to watch, and I give them full credit.
Thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure, Bob. Enjoy the playoffs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. And if you wonder why we call it the Late Night Anger Management Class, any Toronto sports fan knows why. Fortunately, I am only a Toronto Raptor fan. I can't imagine being a Raptor fan, a Blue Jay fan, and, of course, a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. The abuse and the torture that you go through is second to none. But a man that knows all about that, and he's on the scene, he's leaving the stadium. Downtown Toronto was the place to be tonight, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Detroit Tigers and, of course, the Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. Raptors blow a 19-point lead at the same time that the Toronto Blue Jays are coming back in the ninth inning on the Detroit Tigers. Cohen, you were in attendance at the baseball game. The Biggie, Eric Cohen, steps up and then TSN Edge in the house, former partner in crime with us. in the old days. What's going on, Cohen? How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm all right, but yeah, it's just I guess an exclamation point to the type of season it was for the Toronto Raptors this year. Just an absolute choke job, and you know, a team that, you know, really throughout the year, people were wondering, you know, are they going to trade? Are they going to rebuild? Who are they going to move at the deadline? Instead, they had Jakob Poeltl, and you know, he plays pretty well for the most part. But man, that team was just a model of inconsistency. The games that they lost down the stretch to Boston, when Boston wasn't playing for anything, and then tonight to have that kind of lead at home, and the Raptors have been so good at home, but to just, you know, piss away a game like that in the fourth quarter with turnovers and missed free throws and all the other nonsense, you'd have to wonder if this is the last time we're going to see Nick Nurse as the head coach of the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a big emotional right after the moment. Oh, let's trade everybody and break things up. But Masai Ujiri gave this team an opportunity. Everybody knew around the trade deadline that the Raptors had so many players that potentially could be available. The Raptors decided to stand pat, and only stand pat, but they actually traded first-round picks to bring back Jakob Poeltl. And, you know, I guess you could argue things change a little bit. They became better defensively, but ultimately the same problems that they have resonated tonight. And I believe that to be true, Cohen. And what an auspicious way for this thing to come to an end like that, because it was a hell of a run, right? And just like that, it's over. And I guess it's a little bit fitting and ironic that DeMar DeRozan was the one left celebrating at center court.
Yeah, that's a bitter pill for a lot of Raptors fans to taste. You know, listen, at the end of the day, you made that controversial trade. You got a championship, but you only got 1 year out of Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, now it's very, very possible that they blow things up in the offseason, because I think the window of people being happy with that championship with Masai and Bobby Webster and...
It's officially closed, Cohen. I was in that. I've been, trust me, I'm the one. I've just closed the window in which it's like, all right, enough living in the past. We need to live in reality now. It was a hell of a run. No team won more games in the NBA in the last 10 years than the Toronto Raptors. They got a championship out of it. It was a hell of a run. But let's be real. This team needs changes. They need a point guard. And as you mentioned, I think Nick Nurse is gone. He's probably going to be the new head coach of the Houston Rockets. And then you get Fred VanVleet. My guess is Fred VanVleet's going to be a member of the Orlando Magic. There's been talk to Magic like him. We're going to offer him like a potential max type of deal, which I think they're crazy. It's been proven. Raptors. Listen, Cohen, the Raptors need changes. They're going to build a team around Scottie Barnes. I'm a big Siakam guy, but he showed tonight that he's the type of dude that, he's going to give you 26, 27 points, but he's not going to come through. He's not that give me the ball in the last 30 seconds type of guy. This team needs to be tweaked, and I think they need to be rebuilt. Let's just call it out for what it is.
Yeah, and I think that's obvious by how it ended tonight. It's funny because, I mean, you know, how different would you have felt if they would have beaten Chicago, then beaten Miami, and then gotten, you know, destroyed by Milwaukee in round one? Does that change how you go into the offseason? Because that's what a lot of people thought was...
Nah, they would have put them in the same place, actually, right? It was, you know, I think we all, including myself... And I think the Raptors, this is their fault that they overestimated their team. I think Masai Ujiri believed in the guys a little bit too much that he should have. After seeing the same thing last year that we've seen this year. Like, there are a lot of troubling signs that were kind of exposed here. And they need to get more athletic, and they need a freaking point guard, like point blank. They need somebody that can distribute the ball to people, which they just simply don't have. That's why they turned the ball over six times tonight in the last 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, it's you know what? The honeymoon's over. Big changes are coming and a lot of work to be done. Do you still believe that, I guess, you know, Masai Ujiri is the guy to really, because since he's been here, as you mentioned, the last 10 years, they've won so many games. They were really good under Dwayne Casey. We all remember they just couldn't beat LeBron James. And now they're in a situation where, you know, for the first time in a long time, really, that's going to have a big-time facelift next year.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, with us. So that's a perfect segue, Cohen. And I wanted to ask you, we'll get to the Leafs in a minute, but a perfect segue into facelift, because there was renovations at the stadium. This is the first, were you there last night as well, or is this your first time in the stadium?
No, I'm a very proud season ticket holder. So once the Blue Jays start, I'm at the Rogers Center more nights than not.
All right. So it looks like it's a launching pad, right? The Blue Jays didn't go deep tonight, but the Tigers the Tigers did a couple of times. So what about the new dimensions? And this game ended up staying under the number, but for betting purposes, looks like home run props are really in play.
Yeah, you know, FanDuel does their Dinger Tuesday prop, right? And I know you're a big FanDuel guy, as am I. And, you know, last night being there for opening day, I, you know, put a nice little bet on Matt Chapman to homer. And not only did you get the Chappie home run at like plus 380, but you got, you know, all your money back for the five home runs that they hit all the other players, right? So, yes, it's definitely something I would be investing in if you're if you are.
What's that? Eight home runs in two games. There were six last night, right? There were six and now two tonight. So eight home runs in this park in two games.
And, that you know, the obviously it's been talked about that the center field wall's been taken down from 10 centimeters to 8, and that obviously helped Kiermaier last night with the catch. He almost did the same thing tonight. The ball just went out of his reach. But it's definitely going to help the wall being shorter. You know, I think, you know, a big factor, Gabe, why you had six last night and two today was because the dome was closed yesterday and the dome was open today. You do have to always keep that in mind. If the dome's open and it's a little bit windy, the ball's not going to carry as much as if the dome is closed.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, TSN Edge in the house with us. So, Cohen, I hate to bring it up, but we almost have to. As you know, you were in attendance last year. The Toronto Blue Jays blow that. It never ends, bro. Let's just call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
So think about it. The Raptors just freaking blew a 19-point lead in a, you know, in a semi-play-in playoff game, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah.
What was it last? Was it 7-0 or 8-1? What was the lead they blew?
8-1 when the collapse happened.
8-1. You know, 8-1 in against the Seattle Mariners for the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, we can go over the Leafs. I mean, but I can't help but think about that 4-1 meltdown in Boston.
If you go back to 2004, I mean, they blew, you know, the 4-1 to Boston. Obviously, everyone remembers. But, you know, how about, you know, blowing a 3-1 series lead to Montreal a couple of years ago? How about, you know, getting shut out on home ice by Columbus in a decisive game five? Like, there's been so many epic meltdowns and collapses by the Leafs.
Choke jobs.
Yes.
Listen, the Raptors weren't a great team this year. The Leafs have been better than the Raptors were this year.
Yeah.
But it's still, you can't help but think, oh my God, here we go again, right? And I can't help but think, I'm ready to pull the trigger. FanDuel's had the number up. It was minus 134. It's minus 150 right now. The Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Leafs are going to host the Lightning. We've said, yes, this is the year. This has to be the effing year. This has to be the year. And I guess we say it once again that this has to be the year. Tampa are not 100%, and I think fatigue is starting to catch up to them from playing all this hockey over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, you know, John Cooper has been pulling out his hair watching his team play the last month and a half, and they've not looked good. They're clearly not as good as the last 3 years when they've gone to the final and winning two of them. They don't have the defensive depth. And that's the thing, because, you know, when you're as good as Tampa Bay is and there's a salary cap, you can only afford to pay so many guys. So while they still have, you know, Kucherov and Point and Sergachev and Vasilevsky and Hedman, you know, they lose defensive depth and they lose, you know, guys that can play on their third and fourth lines. And clearly, if you look at the Leafs and you look at the Lightning and you look at them, their complete rosters, the Leafs have a better roster. I mean, Toronto just beat them last night in the game where Toronto rested half their guys and Tampa played everybody. And Vasilevsky played and Joseph Woll played for Toronto and the Leafs still won that game. Now, granted, it didn't mean anything for Tampa. And I think Leaf fans are probably a little concerned maybe Tampa has a different switch come playoff time. But from what we've seen in the regular season, Tampa Bay does not look like anything really close to what they've looked like the last few years.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, kick it with us. So, Cohen, what's your Stanley Cup prediction right now? Bracket isn't officially set yet. We know a few of the series is, but who do you think is going to be playing for the Stanley Cup? Will the Bruins be beat in the Eastern Conference, or do you think they get there?
Listen, if you're just going to say, you know, even money and you're not going to have to lay any odds, then you'd be stupid not to take Boston based on the year they've had. Because, you know, you could always make the point that a team's there's great value against Boston because of the number. But if you're just giving it, you know, team versus team and no odds, you have to take Boston in the East because they've had the year they've had. And, you know, in the West, there's nobody playing better than Edmonton. My goodness, the Oilers just don't lose anymore. Now that they've found goaltending in Jeff Skinner and they've learned a defensive system, that just, you know, you think of the offensive firepower on that team. McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Kane, Hyman. They just got so many guys that can score that their top three lines are so dangerous and so lethal. And, you know, obviously everyone talks about, you know, the best player in the world in Connor McDavid, but they just got such a good supporting cast, and Skinner's played so well that it's hard not to look at them in the West and think they're going to be really tough to beat in a seven-game series. The fact they were favored last night in Colorado tells you all you need to know about how good Edmonton is.
I brought it up last week, Colin, you know, when they beat the LA Kings, and I said, man, if the Oilers are going to start winning games 2-0 and 1-0 and stuff like that, look out. Like, because this is, I get the same feeling, man. I said before the year started, Edmonton Oilers and the New York Rangers, the Bruins look scary, but often we see the team with the best record stumbles. The President Cup curse is real. And Colin, we'll hit this. We'll get it. You know, Colin will join us during the NHL playoffs, but over at FanDuel, Cohen, I see some interesting props up. Stanley Cup champion, Big Five versus the field. Yep. Bruins, Hurricanes, Avalanche, Maple Leafs, or Lightning, -102. All right, so the Maple Leafs and Lightning are playing each other, so that sort of eliminates them. But still, you're getting the Bruins, the Leafs, and the Avalanche. That's not bad, Cohen. And the Hurricanes at -102, that's not bad.
I would love it if you would have included Edmonton in that group, right? They're the team we just talked about that I feel like they've got a really good chance. And listen, I'm not to say this because they're a Canadian team. We all know a Canadian team hasn't won the Cup since '93.
And they have a prop up, actually. Canada versus the field. Yeah. I need better odds than this. It's +390. Maple Leafs, Oilers. It's basically, I like how they list all the teams. Yeah. You know, they're not all the teams are there. Maple Leafs, Oilers, Jets.
Yeah,
any better than 390.
Yeah, those are the only three Canadian teams in it. And you know, let's be honest, the Jets aren't winning the Cup. So basically it's the Leafs or the Oilers. If you feel like one of them are winning it, and you feel like +390 is better than just betting them individually. You can bet them both, right? You bet the Leafs. I think the Leafs might be about 9-1, and the Oilers might be about 10-1. So it makes probably a little more sense just to bet both teams individually if you think one of them's gonna win.
Yeah, that's only good if like all six teams were in, and even then, teams from Canada never win. That's right. One thing I'm scared about for the Oilers. But Cohen, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for joining us. We'll catch up with you as the playoffs start. Always good.
Always good, Gabe. Take care.
This is a big year, Cohen. It's the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And everybody else in between. Thanks to all of our guests tonight, the Big E, Eric Cohen, who we used to throw it down nightly with on HSR Channel 98, serious old days. Bob Ryan, always a pleasure. Always cool talking to Bob Ryan, one of the all-time greats, Hall of Famer, Bob Ryan. And Ian Cameron, the Raging Redhead, Kim Stewart, was a pleasant surprise tonight. So great stuff for this evening. We appreciate you joining us wherever you may be. Little bit of a calm before the storm. We were all fired up for basketball. No basketball on Thursday night from the association. We're back at it on Friday, and then we're off and running. And then we're off and running over the weekend, and then Monday there's no turning back. It's going to be cool, like I said. So it's the calm before the storm. Do you know what we'll do tomorrow? We'll really start to focus in on all of our best bets for the NBA playoffs. We'll give you our series picks and all that. We've already started to put quite a few plays in. Some of the series plays that I've already put in. I played a parlay. Sorry, Matthias. The Phoenix Suns -1.5. and the Philadelphia 76ers minus 1.5. Alternate. It was minus 110 to get this when you parlay them together. So Phoenix minus 1.5 is so Phoenix in 6 or less, and Philadelphia in 6 or less. I also played Philadelphia minus 2.5, which, you know what, concerns me a little bit because I don't even like the Sixers, and I hate betting big money on teams that I don't like, but it is what it is. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.